Good morning. I want to ask you to think about the last time you felt pain. The most recent time you felt pain. Where did you feel that pain? What did it feel like? How would you quantify that pain on a scale of either 0 to 10, nurses may use a 0 to 10 scale, or 0 to 100, where 0 is no pain, 100 or 10 is the most intense pain imaginable. Women who've had children, we're going to go with that 100 and that 10, right? Because we know what that feels like. Men who've played sports, if you've been football, you've gotten hit, or if you're a hockey player and you like doing that, you know what that pain may feel like. How do you describe that pain? And why do some of us describe pain one way compared to describing pain differently? What is it in the experience of pain that has us thinking about pain differently? I want you to think about that as you listen to what we're looking at in terms of pain sensitivity among women with knee osteoarthritis, and what do we do about pain that will allow us to effectively manage that pain. The work that we're doing at the University of Florida is asking persons to consider having fun as one of the ways that we may be able to see if we can reduce pain. And we're using games for health as one of the ways that we're looking at seeing if there are differences in women's perception of their pain sensitivity. We're also using what's called QST, quantitative sensory testing, as a part of the mechanisms for measuring pain. The quantitative sensory testing that we're using is mechanical pressure pain at the most affected knee joint among the medial line, and I'll be showing you that. So pain, as I've mentioned a little bit by asking you to think about your pain, is very multidimensional. It's not just one thing. It encompasses very, very many aspects. It's biologically experienced, as we may think about cancer pain, as we may think about knee osteoarthritis pain, as we may think about lupus pain, as we may think about any number of different mechanisms when we're thinking about pain. Pain is also socially constructed. Men think about pain one way, women think about pain another way. How we are groomed says what we think about pain and how we may express pain, when it is appropriate to express pain, and to whom we will express that pain. For example, in our laboratory, if we had a very gorgeous looking woman like Professor Leach here doing pain testing and a male came in and we asked him to rate his pain, what do you think that male is going to do? Is he going to say, oh my God, Professor Leach, this is so serious pain? Or is he going to buck pain? What's that? Oh, a macho man, there is no pain. Because he has this attractive looking woman that he wants to impress. What about women? Will women decide to express more pain if there is a male experimenter there? She may if there's a female experimenter there, because she can bond, may feel that that woman is going to be more empathetic, and so that she is able to describe her pain and feel that that woman is going to empathize with her. Where she may feel like the male may not understand her pain, and so she may decide to not express it in a certain way, or she may think it's socially constructed to express pain one way compared to another way, depending upon whom that person is. Pain is psychologically embedded. What do I think about this pain? Can I endure up under this pain? What does it do to me if I express it or if I think about it a certain way? Do I imagine that pain as being these little bitty things like Pac-Man? For those of you who can go back to Pac-Man, it's just chomping away at me. And what do I do when I think about that pain? It's culturally relative, and I don't think anyone here except in one of my presentations, I use a slide where I show individuals who have hooks hanging through them, And the pain for them is good. There are some people, I don't think anybody, you don't raise your hand if you're a sadist, masochist, don't raise your hand. But for most of us, pain is probably an unpleasant experience. Pain associated with arthritis is a leading cause of functional limitation and disability. If you watched Professor Leach's presentation, you notice that she said, as we age, you're going to see a rise in arthritis. So we're going to be expecting that we'll see, the longer we live, all of us will experience some aspect of arthritis in our lifetime. It is one of the most important symptoms pain is among individuals with arthritis, and it's persistent, and it's a very significant cause of physical and psychological disability among adults who are 65 years of age and older. Again, there are older individuals. We see racial and ethnic group differences in pain sensitivity, and there are disparities related to osteoarthritis, and that has to do also with women and with ethnic groups. In our laboratory, we do look at ethnic group differences, and this study that I'm reporting on today is a subset of our study, which is about ethnic group differences in pain sensitivity among women with knee osteoarthritis. Today, we're only talking about the non-Hispanic white women data. In some of our research we've done with younger college age populations, we have found differences among ethnic groups with minority groups, for example, African Americans and Latino younger individuals having greater pain sensitivity compared to younger non-Hispanic white individuals. So with osteoarthritis, more than 20 million Americans suffer from it, and it's the number one cause of disability in the U.S. And this is a pictorial description of osteoarthritis at different points. Here you see the healthy knee. That looks really nice. You've got that cushioning in there that's keeping that bone on bone from rubbing against each other. Here you see where there's a beginning of the problem associated with that bone deterioration there. And when you have that bone deterioration and you have that lining that now is having a problem, you see the inflammation that's going to be there, the redness can be some of the swelling, and in osteoarthritis you're going to have swelling and you're going to have that redness, and that's going to be causing a lot of sensitivity when you get that bone on bone rubbing there. And this is really severe osteoarthritis. You see there the lining is no longer very, very, very little lining there that is the protective aspects of knee osteoarthritis. So now you've got that bone on bone that's rubbing, and that's very, very painful, and you have the inflammation. So what do we do to try to help with some of the knee osteoarthritis problems? Exercise. Research shows that exercise is certainly very beneficial for individuals with knee osteoarthritis, and some of the joint-friendly activities include walking, biking, swimming, things like Tai Chi and massage. In this particular research, we did exercising that had to do with biking. Exergaine physical activity compared to non-exergaine physical activity, where women were cycling on an exergaine bike while playing a video game. Physical activity, as I mentioned, has shown to be very effective in reducing arthritis pain outcomes and improving functional ability. In our study, functional ability had to do with how far women could cycle within a certain period of time. That period of time had to do with 15 minutes per each cycling activity. This study examined the effect of games for health, as I mentioned, exergaming compared to non-exergaming and chronic pain, and we combined physical activity with an interactive video game to examine pain levels of women with knee osteoarthritis. And we wanted to ask and find out, if exercise is fun, could it distract you from the pain of aching joints? And if exercise is fun, could it improve functional ability? And there are many, many studies that show if we make exercise fun, typically persons will do more of the exercise. And so think about yourself. What do you enjoy? And everybody in here exercises how many times a week?
Six.
How many other times a week are we exercising? Because remember, we're public health people. We have to demonstrate and be the role models for what we want others to do. So we're exercising here weekly, and we're exercising multiple times during the week, and we're exercising for a minimum of how many minutes each time? 30 at least. Some of us are doing a lot more than that, which is excellent. So we're all on the same page, we're all exercising weekly, and we're following at least the standard recommendations because we're the role models, we're the leaders. So our participants in the current study, we're recruiting 40 African-American and 49 Hispanic white women in the Gainesville area, like in some of the areas of the persons who have also presented here. We have to go with the population that is available to us, especially for an older age individuals. So that's why we're recruiting African-American, non-Hispanic white individuals, because that's our primary population for the age group that we're looking at, the 50 to 70 year olds. This is our extra game cycle. It is the bike that you see here. It looks like this. It is an upright stationary bike, and it is hooked to a TV monitor screen. And this is our extra PlayStation box. We put in the video game. The video game that we're using in this particular research is the Cars video game. Some of you may have grandchildren, you may have children, young children, and if you took them to see the Disney movie Cars, that's the game that we're using in this particular research. We're also using methods where we take blood pressure of the women. They have to have controlled blood pressure as one of the inclusion criteria. They're excluded if their blood pressure is out of the normal range. We're doing a battery of questionnaires, and one of the main questionnaires we're looking at for language of pain is the McGill Pain Questionnaire, which has validity and reliability and has been used continuously to assess the affective and the sensory and the evaluative nature of pain based upon pain descriptors. And there are 15 words that are used with the McGill Pain Questionnaire. We also take heart rate. The women wear a heart rate monitor during the time that they are cycling, and we're taking readings during the time that they are cycling at 5, 10, and 15 minutes of cycling activity with the game and without the game, and we take the mean rating of those three trials. And of course, informed consent is required. This is the mechanical pressure testing that we use. This is the instrument that we use, and it is applied to the medial joint. And as we place that rubber tip to the skin, it gives us a rating. We are taking readings of threshold, not tolerance. We want to know when the women first feel pain. We don't want to inflict additional pain to a knee joint that is already experiencing some levels of pain sensitivity. And this is a pictorial of what that looks like. Here we are feeling for the area along the medial line. When women come in, we ask them what is the most affected knee. We take that knee and we ask them to lift that leg gently up and down, and we can feel in there, and we go to an area which is located here along the medial joint, and this is where we're going to apply the pressure. And this is an example of the algometer applying pressure to an area for the mechanical pressure quantitative sensory testing. So the language of pain and knee osteoarthritis. These words are the words that are used in the McGill Pain Questionnaire to assess pain sensitivity along the three areas I've mentioned: evaluative, sensory, and affective. The linguistic dimensions of pain are verbalizations that describe and the quality of the pain experience in a determinate kind of way. And it also has a structure and content of verbal descriptors of pain. What people say about their pain and how that pain is explained is highly variable. And it depends on a multiplicity of cultural and social factors. Descriptive words are the most words that are commonly used to measure pain in individuals. So we're using the short form McGill Pain Questionnaire, and some of the words that the women do use to describe their pain are words like throbbing, aching, stabbing, sickening, punishing, sharp, and fearful. And they rate that pain along four areas: no pain, meaning none, mild pain, moderate pain, or severe pain. And this is some of the initial data that we're finding with women who are coming in. And on that day, when they come in for pain, we're assessing the pain at that moment, at that time. One of the things that we're continuing to look at when we go and look at the health history, because we're finding out some of the women, they'll give us a clinical assessment of pain, because we'll ask them, please rate your pain on a scale of 0 to 100 at this present moment. And that scale can be from 0 to 100, and there's variability along the way with that. They fill out the McGill Pain Questionnaire that day also, so that we're trying to get a reading of what your pain is like. One of the things that we're going to be doing as we continue with this study, after they finish with the two cycling bouts of activity, do we find that they will continue to rate their pain the same way pre and post during the intervention? This is a pre the cycling. So as you notice, women are seeing that knee osteoarthritis feels like it is throbbing, but it's a mild throbbing. They also feel that this knee pain feels like it's burning. It's a burning sensation, but it's a mild burning sensation. It aches, but it's only mildly aching at that point. It's very tender, but it's only mildly tender, except there were some women who did think that that pain was moderately aching and tender. And it's tiring, but it's only mildly tiring, but some do say that it is moderately also tiring. There's more data that we have here, but our time is very limited that we're not able to assess. We're looking at the pre and post of some of what that pain experience is like for the women. We know that the subjective experience of pain sensitivity is variable and it's very, very multifaceted. As we ask women to measure that pain, we also ask them about enjoyability. And we're finding out that even though women may assess their pain with the exergame activity compared to the non-exergame activity at one level versus another level, enjoyability is greater and the pain is less when they're cycling with the game compared to cycling without the game. Pain is rated higher when they're cycling without the game, and the enjoyability is less without the game. So it's telling us if we as public health professionals can get individuals engaged in activity that is more enjoyable, that pain that we're finding, there's some psychological benefit there, that they're finding out that the pain seems to be less. This is one point in time, though. So we do use that as a caveat, is at that moment, at that time. We're preparing a study where we're going to look at multiple time series. So if women are doing at this point, and at a second point, and at a third point, pre and post cycling activity, does that hold constant across what we're seeing with pain and pain sensitivity? The experiences of women is different, and the literature shows that. Women have different experiences of pain, and thus their pain ratings. We're going to also be looking at some point, including males in the study, to see if we still find that that holds true. Some people question whether or not experimental pain is relevant for clinical pain assessment. So when persons come into our laboratory and we induce pain, is the level of pain sensitivity that we make people feel, we then become the experimentals that cause people to experience pain? Well, is artificial pain the same as clinical pain ratings? There's research that says, yes, that what pain levels we experience when we induce pain in individuals is what you will see in a clinical setting of pain when a physician asks a person to rate their pain on a scale of 0 to 10 or 0 to 100. There would be some very similar aspects of that. We want to do additional pain research to see if the language of pain holds constant and is similar or different across ethnic groups by age group. We do know pain changes as we age, and it changes because the body starts to deteriorate in certain kinds of ways, as we see with osteoarthritis. As we see with pain sensitivity in aging, the aging receptors change as we age, so that we see pain being more intense as we age for older individuals compared with younger individuals. So there are a lot more questions that we do have that we'd like to have answered, but we do know right now, if it's fun, there's less pain and there's more enjoyment. So let's do things that we find that are fun, and let's hear the language of pain, because women will say, boy, that was fun. I didn't even think about the pain. When we go over and we ask women at 5, 10, and 15 minutes, would you please rate your pain? They will tell us, get away, I'm having too much fun. Don't bother me right now. If we go and we ask them to rate their pain and what that pain is experienced like when they're cycling without the game, they say, boy, that's really kind of painful. So we know there's something that's going on there, and the language of pain changes when individuals are having fun. So let's go and have some fun. Thank you.